Yeah, g'day everyone. Welcome to the Tripod Live with Winnie and Clarkie. Big shout out to Tom. Tom's in the house first. How are you going, Tommy boy? And to all our other viewers that are here live, we're here to preview everything that promises to be round 18 of the NRL season. Before we get to all that, our best bets and more, let me welcome in my beautiful co-host as always, Winnie. How are you going on this fine, fine evening?
I'm pretty good, thanks, mate. I'm literally dropping a bet right now so people can copy that on Dabble.
Nice.
Literally as we speak, because I'm going to share our best bets in a second. We did go 1-2 last week in the mixed matchup at least, and we lost the same gamer. And I want to say straight off the bat, I'm not happy with the best bet record this year. I think 27-24. I'm not going to sit here and disrespect the intelligence of our audience and try and spin it to be a positive. I think pod followers expect a higher win percentage, and so do I. And over a long period of time, it doesn't matter how good you are, you get bad runs or mediocre runs. And for me, a mediocre run is a bad run. So all I can do is assure people I'm never kind of comfortable. I never sit back on my laurels. Best bets are always my highest priority and focus. And I have got three that I've thought long and hard about for tonight.
Nice. Three best bets. I love it, mate. Well, let's roll straight into that. Let's go into our best bets. What have you got for us this week?
Yeah, I've got so many notes for games tonight. We've got eight games, so we should just get into it. Let's not muck around. So my three best bets, I'm taking an under. So I've got under 39.5 at $1.81 in the Storm Panthers game. Now, you find that under total points 39 to 45. Next best 38.5 at $1.90, but I do like that extra point for the potential of a field goal in this one because I think it could be that tight, and I think Penrith's defense, you know, you don't need to say much about how hard they are to get past. And I think Melbourne at home, close to full strength, will also present a really big challenge for Penrith. Of course, still no Nathan Cleary. Then I'm going the Cowboys to win both halves, which is the bet I just dropped on Dabble, $1.88. You can copy at Jacob Wynn, and you can use Tripod if you need a Dabble account. We have a code for them as well. And I think it's the revenge spot. That's the biggest reason at home. The Cowboys are flying now, whereas West Tigers have got it up to Townsville, no Luke Brooks, no Apisai Coruscant. It's a hard ask. So I do like the Cowboys, and that was my favorite way to play that one. And then I'm going the Finns again in the Brisbane Derby, which is at the Gabba. I'm taking +5.5 first half at $1.90 on Top Sport because I think if the Dolphins are going to get their game plan right and get their performance right, it starts with the opening 40. Can't be blown off the park like they have been their previous two outings. I understand the Hammers moved to centre and that actually had a little bit of a market impact today that I can discuss. But all in all, Marshall King should be back. The Broncos are missing Flegler, missing Ricky. And I'm just hearing, no, the Reece Walsh tribunal still going on. So if we hear... if he's out, sounds like he's going to be out, but that has not concluded yet down in Sydney. So several reasons why I think the Dolphins will hang with Brisbane, even though I understand Brisbane are going to come into that game desperate too.
Matt, I'll be honest, I had a post ready for guilty or not guilty for Reece Walsh. I fell asleep waiting for the result to come out there. So, yeah, people that follow my page missed out on that one. Mate, love all three best bets. That's the way I'm leaning with my tips. All of that fits within that well. At the Gabba, +5.5. So just a sixer from the midfielder there. I don't know about AFL. My friend says, you don't call it a sixer, you call it a goal. But let's jump into the round. We've got Thursday, 7:50 p.m. We're at PointsBet Stadium for the Sharkies v. Dragons. We'll get the lineup for that one in just 1 second. No changes to the Sharkies side for the Dragons. Moses Sully out, Tau Tau Moga in. Ben Murdoch, Masilla back row, Winnie. Jack Bird out again. You have to wonder how bad his knee is this year. He's been in and out. And Couchman moves on to the bench there. That line is huge. -18.5 for the Sharkies. This is giving me Kiwis v Jamaica World Cup vibes just about. That's such a large line. How do you see this one? I think you're going to tip the Sharks, but is that line a bridge too far?
Well, yeah, it's tough, isn't it? That's why the line makes it interesting. We're no point sitting here and us both saying why the Sharks are going to win. We've got to talk about it in the context of the line. I'm going to do a little sidebar on Ben Hunt, the latest, right? Because there's now a stalemate and the Dragons are playing hardball. And I just ask myself, and I'd like to know any Dragons who are following along, maybe the Mad Dragon watches our show. What's the best outcome for the Dragons? Like, it's good to hold your nerve and to be stubborn to a degree, but play hardball if it gets you a better negotiating outcome. But don't let it hurt your future. I wonder if the Dragons can't get compensation from Brisbane for releasing Hunt for the rest of the year and get compensation from the Titans for releasing him for the next 2 years, because they both are going to gain those two Queensland clubs if the Dragons do release Ben Hunt. So I feel like both should compensate. You save that cap space. As I said before, you never know when the next star that's can't get a run on spot becomes available, like your Nico Hines, your Matty Burtons of the last couple of years. Get that big cap space, but also get some young building blocks. Maybe, just maybe, the Dragons can get somebody who can really help contribute in a couple of years' time, because the Dragons are not winning the comp in the next 2 years. You want to be better placed for the future. That's how I see the situation, but I'd be very interested in how others are seeing it. I know that a common observation of the Dragons right now is that they're just a mess, and this Hunt situation is part of the reason. My hesitation is that the Dragons actually played pretty well against Souths. You know, there's three tries in the final 4 minutes that makes that score look close. But for 76 minutes, the Dragons played well. And I know Souths were depleted, but it was something. And then St. George were not good against the Warriors, but I did think that result had a lot to do with how good New Zealand were. So I'm just not quite ready to say that the Dragons are a total and utter basket case and have no chance. So that's kind of why the 18.5 you know, could be a bet for some people, but they'd have to be braver than me. But then I look at Cronulla, they're off a bye. In fact, I'm going to call it a bye and a half, because they had a bye and the previous week they played the Bulldogs and they put 48 on and never got challenged. Minimal origin disruption. Rudolph could even be back. You mentioned St. George are missing Bird and Sully. Like, those aren't great players, not aren't the best players, but if the Dragons had a realistic chance of an upset, you need those guys chipping in, which they won't be. So I definitely think the Sharks are in an almighty position to pile on the Dragons' recent pain. But from a betting perspective, it is kind of obvious, isn't it? Everyone's going to be on the Sharks. Everyone's going to have multiple Sharks players in their same gamers. So I'm just saying why I think there's still a chance that the Dragons could have a little bit of fight left in them. That's the reason I'll be passing on this one.
I can see Maddie Blanche on Facebook says, we'll settle for a week in the Whit Sundays. And Maddie, I believe you're a Dragons fan. And if I'm correct, you might want to do the same around September, because no offense, mate, but you won't have much footy to watch to do with Dragons there. Just looking, you said the Sharks were off the bye. Their last bye, I believe, was in round six. They came back after that and they beat the Roosters. And then they did have another bye, in round 13, where they lost to the Broncos and were quite disappointing. So mixed form there for the Sharkies coming off the bye. Look, ultimately, I think you'd be insane to tip the Dragons here, and I don't think many people would push back on that. I look at the Sharks' record against bottom eight teams this year. Their only loss to a bottom eight side was the Dolphins, who we know are probably towards the top of that bottom eight bunch and can beat a lot of great sides on their day. The Sharkies beat the Dragons early this year 40-8 at Nostrada Jubilee, where at that stage, the Dragons had won like four out of the last five there. Can't remember the exact stat, but they had a really good home record up until that. The Sharks have also won their past six in a row over the Dragons, and the Dragons have not beaten them at points bet since 2018. Every single stat here, every single thing we know about recent form says the Sharks. Mulatalo has got 20 tries in his past 20 at points bet, and Blake Brayley plays his 100th NRL game. I am keen on Sharks 13+. Maybe a Brayley anytime try there. I think that would have some value in his milestone game. That'd be cool to see. And Mulatalo with that record and with the Wiki's data prediction tool, he's also the most likely try scorer this round. So there's certainly two options there. Look, I just think if I think Sharks will win 13+, can I tack another try onto that, another converted try to get it to 19 to cover that line? I probably can. I probably can, if I'm honest. The Sharks have been really good against bottom eight sides this year. Once they get that roll on, and the Dragons begin to, you know, stop that fight, and they know the result's gone in the first 20, I think this one could be a bloodbath. So I will tip the Sharkies at that line, even if it is a huge one. Friday, 6 p.m., it's the Warriors v. Rabbitohs. We're at Go Media Stadium in Auckland. The line is set at -2.5 in the Warriors' favor. For the Warriors, Mitchell Barnett is back in. Murata Niokore is out. At this point, those two are just swapping with their suspensions, it seems. For the Bunnies, Cheekam is in for host Harvili, and big Shaq Mitchell join the bench. Now, that line is really interesting, Winnie, because if we had this game 3 weeks ago, it would be the opposite and it would be larger. But the Bunnies are in a bit of a down patch at the moment. So do you see them breaking that in this game? Are you going Warriors or Rabbitohs?
Not 3 weeks ago, 1 week ago. In fact, you know, we didn't officially tip it, but a benefit to anyone that watched our Sunday recap, we referred to this upcoming game. And I said at the time, Souths were still favourites on Sunday night. And that was after we'd seen them lose 25-6 to the Cowboys. And I said they won't be a favorite on Wednesday. So if you like New Zealand, hopefully you got either the plus money head-to-head price or that plus line. It's no certain winner, but, you know, clearly now we've moved to New Zealand -2.5. And I do look at it and go, you know, what a ripper. In fact, what a cracking doubleheader we do have on Friday night. You've got South coming in having lost 4 or 5. You have New Zealand coming in having won 4 or 5. And both of these clubs, if you asked them, would settle for nothing less than top 4, I believe. When you look at the ladder right now, Penrith's not going to miss the 4. You've got Brisbane and Storm. They're not perfect footy sides, but they're going to be right up there. You've got Cronulla, we just talked about, probably will have won on Thursday night and be up there too. You've got Para, looking quite a lot like Para 2022. Okay, so what I'm getting at is, how big is a game like this to ultimately decide who gets in the 4? And I think that the atmosphere at, I refuse to call it anything but Mountain Smart, it's going to reflect, you know, this massive occasion. And I feel like I know what I'm going to get out of New Zealand. I know they'll be highly physical, they'll rip in, they will turn up defensively. And they also embody their captain, Johnson, who's like this calming force. You know, he's patient, but he's decisive when he, when the opportunity presents. And they've been clinical when presented opportunities, and they haven't always had the lion's share of possession of territory. It hasn't mattered. So I know I'm getting a strong show from the home side, but what am I getting from Souths? You know, we can't expect them to be at their best because there's no Latrell. Arrow is out. I'm not even certain about Cam Murray. Like, I know he's probably playing, but is he 100%? So it's like, what could we reasonably expect out of South? You know, they'll come in desperate, but again, they're off a shorter turnaround and, the travel spot as well. So I think New Zealand has to be favoured for this reason. And I've got to be honest, I gave 3 best bets. There were other games I was really close. But we're not going to panic just because it hasn't been strong best bets results. I'm not going to try and win it all back 1 week. So I left a few alone, including just simply New Zealand -2.5. I don't think would have been a bad bet. I was that close with it because I kind of know New Zealand comes in and plays an 8.5 out of 10 and makes the opponent work really hard to beat them. And it's up to us to all decide, do we think Souths can play a 9 out of 10 or better? And what kind of likelihood is that? And, you're going to need big performances out of Cody Walker, Damian Cook, Cam Murray, and some of the middle forwards to at least play the Warriors even in the middle of the field. I'm not sure they can. That's why I'm predicting New Zealand wins. And I want to get your thoughts as well as your take on Toppy actually feeds into my lean towards New Zealand as well.
Nice. We'll get to the take on Toppy. I'll go through my thoughts on this one. Love the call from Jeremy. He says, Warriors game is a sellout. Must be worth 2 points. Let's go, Warriors. It is indeed a sellout. It sold out last week. That's how keen and rowdy this New Zealand crowd is. Just please don't streak the field again, guys, when your team's trying to make a comeback. Don't do it. Don't hurt them. But for me, this is a real make or break for the Bunnies. And if they lose this, it'll be 1 win since round 12. And that win would have been over the Titans. And you know what? This sounds crazy. If the Titans beat the Raiders, we would actually go into the 8. The Rabbitohs would drop out of the 8, sorry, which is, you can't fathom it. They were first only recently. So it is a real make or break in the context of their season. I'm going Warriors. Their record in New Zealand just simply has to be respected. And when we look at road trips for Australian-based teams, and there's no bigger than New Zealand. You've got to go through customs. You've got to do all that. You've got to get on a plane, go overseas, et cetera, et cetera. Without another layer to the Rabbitohs attack, without Latrell Mitchell there, with just Cody Walker, I think they will struggle against the Warriors, who have had really good scramble and really consistent defense for a lot of this year. Recently, the Rabbitohs have won 13 of their last 14 against Warriors, and Warriors have not beaten the Rabbitohs at this stadium since 2012. Now, earlier this year, I read into a lot of those facts, but I completely dismiss them now, Winnie. This is a different Warriors side. We have to admit that. And so the stats that don't look pretty like that, I throw them out the window now. That is a Warriors side that was of the past. This is a new Warriors side that looks every bit a top 8 side and possibly a top 4 side this year. For the Rabbitohs as well, this is what I look at. So round 11, they held the Tigers to 0. Since that, in their recent 5 games, they've conceded 36, 33, 28, 36, and 31. So defense is not a strong point of the Rabbitohs season at this stage. That's a lot of points. That'd be about an average of 30. So I'm going to tip Warriors here, and I'm going to throw in Marcelo Montoya as my anytime take on Toppy try scorer. $2.40 is what you can get for Marcelo Montoya on Top Sport. That's aggressive odds that they're offering. And it is also, it can be used as a single, or you can place that in a multi at $2.40. So if you like the Warriors in this one like we do, could be one to consider right there.
And he's closer to $2 than basically every other bookie. And thank you, Nahi, kindly points out, the words left my lips and I saw your expression, I questioned, hang on, Sean Johnson's not the captain. But Tohu Harris, when he's on the field, is the captain. But you guys know what I mean. Johnson's the leader. And this team seems to go as he does. And you called it a couple of weeks ago, Clarkie, that he could be your Dally M pick. And I think if you could bet on him like that, he'd probably be the favorite at this point.
I've got him at second currently. I've got him second on 30. I've got Payne Haas on 33 points. However, Payne Haas has been suspended, so you must deduct three, which puts Sean Johnson equal first when we get towards the end of the season. And yeah, I get it, Nahi. Thanks for saying that, mate. But that is the beauty of us being live here. We're going to make little mistakes like that and things that, you know, otherwise seems obvious, but you just slip up sometimes when you're live. Friday, 8 p.m., we've got the Storm v Panthers at Marvel Stadium in Melbourne. The line for this one is really close. It's set at -1.5 in the Storm favour. For the Storm, not too much movement. Munster and Tui Kamakamitha return. For the Panthers, all their Origin players return. Now, I want to ask, Winnie, does this feel like a blockbuster to you? Because typically we get the Friday 8 p.m. games. Without Nathan Cleary, it diminishes a little bit. But do you still view this one as an absolute blockbuster? Must watch footy. You got there after my third turn. How do you view this?
Absolutely, mate. You know, the fact that Cleary's not there in some ways makes it more intriguing because how can Penrith, who's everyone's competition favourites right now, deservedly so, get five Origin stars back and still come into a game as an underdog? Which does tell you a lot about how Melbourne have looked in the last 3 weeks as well, and it doesn't hurt when you get Cam Munster added into any side either. So this is an awesome matchup, as I said, two great ones on Friday night. And looking at Penrith, like they had a shaky start to the year, people saying, you know, they can't replace these rep players. This year it was Kikau and who else they lose? Coruscant. And, you know, the year before that it was Matty Burton, Kurt Capewell, probably one or two others I'm forgetting as well. It's like multiple rep players leaving each year, which is the salary cap working as it should. And they're still the pinnacle in the competition right now. And I was highly impressed with their performance against the Knights, as was Christian Welsh, who I want to touch on again momentarily. So we say no Cleary. So, of course, when I look at the team list, I think Penrith's got the tougher pack, more to offer on the bench. I'd probably take the Penrith outside backs as well. But where Storm get their nose in front is Grant, Hughes, Munster and home field. So I do think that might be the difference in getting the Storm over the line. But then again, you know, those players are such attacking threats. If there's anybody equipped to defend those three players, it would be Penrith. And that kind of builds back into my best bet. I'm taking unders, which I think might be my first pure, you know, total unders play as a best bet for the season. But it was just jumping out at me. And I think it's going to be finals intensity. And I think the total could drop, you know, through the key number of 38 as well. And I also think that the Storm will defend resolutely. And you do notice that Penrith's not attacking as crisply without Cleary. Look, even last week when they beat the Knights, you got one try, the try that's now going to live forever in memes. Peachy
dive, yeah.
The swan dive right off the regathered dropout. And they scored another really soft try from, you know, dummy half. But that's the type of try I wouldn't expect the Storm to give up here. So, like, all in all, maybe a coin flip of a game. I'll take unders. But I do wonder if Penrith gets in here and gets the win, do we hear a little bit more from the likes of Dylan Edwards, Fisher Harris, Moses Leota, who were called no one by the Storm captain. And, yes, Welsh is the Storm captain. Unbeknownst to him that he was being recorded at the time that he said, did Penrith really win with nobody?
Yeah, it's interesting comments there, that's for sure. I can see Dan's comment. Does it feel like the exact winning margin by one? And Dan has been
That as well. And Dan has been, we've been spoken to this before, he's been cruel in a couple of games where it deserved to hit. This is, if there's a candidate this round, it's certainly this game, DL. Mm-hmm. So yeah, go for your life.
Get on, Dan. None worse than the Cowboys-Panthers one. I thought that was jam for money at one stage there, but... yeah, it sucks Nathan Cleary's not in this one because if he was, this would, like, genuinely, for me, have grand final feels to this game. But without Cleary, they're still top four sides, right? And when I look to split these sides with the close line, I had a close look at the ladder. Both sides are 5-5 against each other in their last 10. Both sides have 10 wins and 5 losses this year. Both sides are missing $1 million spine player in Cleary and Pappenhausen. Now, Panthers have shown in recent years, during the Origin period in particular, they can't get the job done without Nathan Cleary. And the Storm have shown this year they can almost certainly get the job done without Ryan Pappenhausen. So I'm still no closer to splitting them at all in this one. You go to completion rates. The Panthers completed 82%. The Storm completed 81%. The only reason, the only really stat I could find of significance, and even so, it's not so much. Storm have won 16 out of 19 against Panthers in Melbourne, but this is the first game they've played each other in Melbourne since 2018. And we think Panthers' side of last few years cannot really be compared 2018 and behind. It's Tyrone Peachy's 200th NRL game, so that will definitely provide a lot of inspiration for the Panthers, given he would have been in the NRL side while a lot of these young guys were actually in the juniors coming up. I'm going to go Storm, though. I don't have great confidence, Winnie, but I will go Storm. Only just, I think it, with the Melbourne home advantage, it is still something. It's at Marvel Stadium. I think this could be the first ever NRL game there, so it should be a loud, large crowd. But yeah, I've got Storm only just, but I'm not too confident at all. It's a really tough one, but it's a must watch game, and I got it that time. But just remember, guys, our same game multi will always be brought to you by Better. Winnie will cook one up on Friday. He's already hit 4 winners this year at $7 plus odds, and the sign up link is in our description. If you want to go ahead and prepare now while we're live, feel free to do so. But before jumping on any bookie, think, is this a bet you really want to place? For free and confidential support, call the number on screen or visit the website. That information is also in this show description if you are listening as a podcast. We move on to Super Saturday. Saturday, 3 p.m., we've got the Raiders v. Titans at GIO Stadium. The line is set at -3.5 in the Raiders' favor. For the Raiders, they'll be without Josh Papali'i. So Pasami Saulo moves to the starting side and Arta Mariotta joins the bench. For the Titans, Tino Fa'asua Mala'awi comes back in. Joloff moves to the bench and Isaac shifts out of the side. You know who I'm tipping in this one, but I want to know who you're tipping in this one. Are you going my boys or are you going against us?
Well, I not only want to know who you're tipping, but your confidence level. We'll get to that. You were a 4 last week out of 10, which, you know, I think of that like you gave the Titans a 40% chance to win, which was pretty bold. And in fact, they did get the win. So I know you still probably haven't come down from that high, but can the Titans back it up? For me, I'm going to be tipping the Raiders here. The giveaway is probably, you know, no best bet on the Titans. If I thought they could win, then once you're getting, you know, more than 2.5 points, if I think a team can win when pressed, I'd probably be playing them. I have no play in this game. What's in the Titans' favor is that you mentioned the home side loses a star prop while the visitors are bolstered by the return of their captain. I'm going to get this one right, Tino, which resting him looks ingenious now against because he can still get the win. I thought it was highly questionable at the time, but I do believe, I really do believe in a phenomenon of a team, you know, getting an upset win without their best player and then that best player comes back. And it can really boost the side because the confidence is already there that everyone else stepped up. But that star player doesn't want everyone to fall back into the old habits or to miss out on the winning feeling themselves. So I feel like that player comes in highly determined to keep the team focused and to add to what the team already did well the week before. And for the Titans' perspective, you know, your season has not really gone to plan. You can tell me if you know off the top of your head where you sit on the ladder, probably. Nice. Actually, ninth is higher than I would have said off the top of my head. But like you've had 3 of your buys, which helps. You've blown games, you should have won. You sacked your coach, right? So it hasn't gone well. But you can still rescue this season. There is still time. And how do you do that? You can pull off some upsets and win some games you're not expected to win. And last week was a hell of a start. And this week, you go into a game as an underdog, but a very realistic chance of winning. Like the Raiders are far from unbeatable, and the Gold Coast is going to have all the belief in the world. They can go down to the capital and have the ability. We've never really questioned the Titans' ability, so they've got the ability to get in there and get the job done. I'm not going to be on your boys, I'm sorry, though, Clarkie, because when I boil it down, I still do think the Raiders are slightly the better team. I say slightly because I think, it's a pretty intriguing matchup and pretty level matchup, but I say slightly the Raiders are better, and they're at home. And last time Canberra played at home, need I remind everyone how badly they fell away in the second half for that Croker milestone game. And I'm sure Sticky not only will remind the team of that, but also the fact that the Raiders led 18-0 and got a bit of a scare last week. You feel like they can still come into this one knowing they need to improve as well. So it's a Saturday arvo game with two teams that can be quite inconsistent, but I see them both showing up for this because of the importance. And I just lean the Raiders in a narrow victory, but you know, it could definitely go either way.
Well, you just missed the easiest best bet of your life with Titans plus 3.5. No, I'm only joking. But I do think that there is merit to what you're saying with the halftime leads, but it does take time to fix. I look at the Raiders side a few years ago. They would always fade, and they were known as the Canberra faders as a joke. And certainly the Titans didn't figure it out after one or two games where they let slip in the second half, which the Raiders seem to be doing lately. So I'm going my boys. I'm going a confidence rating of 8 out of 10. And I know people will think that's crazy. Let's see if I can convince you with my notes here. If not, certainly let me know. Give it to me. I love the banner. But when previewing this one, the Titans put, I went Titans 13+ and both of our wingers to score. I expect a tight battle in the middle, but without Josh Papali'i, who might not currently be the Raiders' best forward, he is still their leader, their spiritual leader, if you will. The younger players all go with Josh. Without him there, there's a big gap. And with Tino Fa'asua Malawi and Moeki Fotuaika in huge form, we can win the middle of the field, and I think we will. Our outside backs have so much more speed than the Raiders. It's not funny. I can't imagine Alofeana Kanpere getting touched by anyone in that Raiders backline. Chris isn't that fast. Hopewadi isn't. Croker isn't. Tomoko, he's strong and little, but he's not that quick. We have them covered for speed. And so if we win the middle and we do shift it wide, certainly there are big opportunities to score in my mind. Now, Canberra have not changed their play style since we last first them in Canberra. It's the same. It's tough. It's gritty. It's not very pretty, but it is hard for 80 minutes, right? And last time we played them, we blew a 22-point lead. So in that game, in my opinion, we've shown we have the ability to go against Canberra, and our style does trouble them. What we didn't have at that stage was the ability to play 80 minutes. And that's the question mark. Do you believe the Titans have gotten over that hump? If you do, then our record here speaks for itself. We've scored more points than the Raiders this year, and we've conceded less also. I know they're higher than us on the ladder, but if you look at the for and against, we are, I wouldn't say performing better than them, but we are scoring points and we are defending better. They're getting these wins in tight games, and I don't think this one's tight. I think my team will win by 13 plus here. I think you'll see both of our wingers score. However, the stats do say Raiders are seven out of eight over us recently, and the Titans have only won 2 out of their 5 trips to GIO Stadium recently. So stats are against me, Winnie. Am I too optimistic? I don't know.
Well, the funny thing is, I mean, we changed our system with how you tip the Titans games because you were tipping the Titans with your heart every week.
Yeah.
But I will say I can detect the conviction in your voice that you really do feel strongly. You do feel confident. Dan Lever can sense your passion as well. So I always say a fan of a team knows their team better than anybody. Clarkie's confident, guys. So, you know, maybe the Titans, maybe don't even worry about that 3.5. Maybe take the outright. Or if you're feeling really dangerous, 13+, as Clarkie suggests, would be super juicy as well.
And Jeff says passion doesn't pay the bills. What will pay the bills is the market paying $1.10 Clarkie to streak the field and take out the Raiders if the Titans lose. So get on that. That's a all throw it in your same game multi. That one's a guarantee. But Saturday, 5:30 p.m. It's the Cowboys v Tigers at Queensland Country Bank Stadium. The line is set at -14.5 in the Cowboys' favour, which might be surprising for some given their last encounter. No change to the Cowboys side. For the Tigers, they've got Dane Laurie at 5'8". He's not been playing there consistently at New South Wales Cup. He's been in and out of that position. And Utu Ikemanu is back. How do you see this one, Winnie? I think this should be a great contest. The last time these two teams played in Townsville, you remember, it was a very great ending to the game and there was no controversy at all. So how do you see this one?
Well, we do remember the end to that game, which then meant that the Tigers owed the Cowboys one. They got it. They got the one they owed them, that's for sure. Leichhardt, humiliating the Cowboys with a 60-piece. And that's the biggest thinking that goes into my best bet here, which is Cowboys to win both halves, $1.88 on Dabble. That has to be the first thought that crosses your mind, the revenge factor. Now, Taumalolo's in the reserves. I mean, at what point is Todd Payton just trolling any super coach, owner or punter? I don't know how I'm supposed to predict. Is he going to be in? Is he going to be out? Is he going to be starting? Is he going to be off the bench? But I don't think it'll matter in terms of who wins this. North Queensland, I can't see them getting stopped here. They're just in too good a form and they've got that clear motivation to pile on the score against the Tigers. So for me, the only question was, can the Tigers come up and stop the Cowboys doing exactly what they are going to be highly motivated to do? And look, Laurie at six, so Tyre back in the centers, I think that's an improvement in attack. I think that's questionable in defense. Not that I've watched Laurie like a lot in New South Wales Cup to see how he goes in the defensive line, but I question that. The Tigers have got a respectable forward pack, some good players in there, and they are off a bye as well. So, like, let's give the counter case. They know, the Tigers know they're going into a hostile environment and that the Cowboys are in their best form of the year. So what you can say about the West is they're not going to be shocked or surprised when the Cowboys come out ferocious in this one. And another reason you might take Tigers is that they're generally, and this hasn't always been the case, but they generally haven't given up in games where they've fallen behind. So if you take the plus of the Tigers, you have got some fight back. So it's not a certainty that the Cowboys are going to crush West. It's never that easy. However, pardon me. However, for me, I do think it's a real thing, this revenge factor. You see it happen time and time again. And quite simply, I do think the Cowboys show up and show out and win both halves. I think if the Cowboys aren't leading at halftime, it's a different game to what I'm envisioning. So I think Cowboys have a lead. And then I just like to only need them to win the second half rather than, you know, to have to say win the game by 16 or more points, which is why I went that angle.
Yeah, I can see Ryan there says, is Laurie in the Huskers with Brooks signing? Not too sure, but Laurie's off contract as well. So technically he could be playing for his future to show rivals what he's capable of in this one. Try to look up some stats while you were talking. There's actually none available for his time in New South Wales Cup, which makes it really hard to make an assessment on how he will go here. But in all seriousness, I have to go to the Cowboys here. I really think they've turned a page and they look like they're going towards the top eight. Every sign says that. This looms as a very winnable game for them. And if there's one thing we know about the NRL ladder in our preview shows this year, when we talk about winnable games, they're more important than ever because the ladder is so congested around that 6th to 14th mark, realistically, which is wild. It's really wild. They must win this game. It's as simple as that. For the Tigers, they're back at the stage now where it's a good team on paper, but it's not clicking. And they're not sure why it's not clicking. They've got some good young players, some good leaders. Of course, the injuries to Luke Brooks and Apisai Kotosau do not help them at all there. Here's an interesting one, Winnie, for you. Do you know which teams missed the most tackles this year in the NRL? They've missed 601.
The North Queensland Cowboys.
Yeah, and the Tigers have missed the least at 382. You would honestly think that stat would be the opposite. So Tigers are defending well for everything negative we can
say about them. Well, about half of those, how many did you say? 500 or 600 missed tackles?
601.
600. About half of them were at Leichhardt that Saturday night.
Absolutely, they were.
Which bumps up the total.
It does. And, you know, interesting thing as well, Cowboys' biggest ever win in their history was in Townsville against the Tigers. They scored 64 points. Early this year, the Tigers had their biggest win against the Cowboys, scoring 66 points. So almost identical records in the highest ever scores and against each other. But ultimately, Cowboys are 6 out of 8 when playing in Townsville this year. And I believe they've got the motivation after being embarrassed last game. Let's call it how it was. They were embarrassed. So I'm tipping them. I think motivation in this one is a big factor. And as Chich FM says, cows want blood. Saturday, 7:30 p.m. It's the Lions up against the Gold Coast Suns at the Gabba. No, it's the Broncos and Dolphins at the Gabba. I believe this is also the first game at the Gabba ever. And this could be due to the Women's Soccer World Cup with all
that. That's what it's due to. Jeez, I never thought about that. First NRL game ever. I don't know. So that's an interesting point. Someone else will know and be able to tell us. Not many come to memory. I feel like Brisbane surely has played that one stage, but it could be wrong.
Yeah, if anyone knows, throw it in the chat. That'd be an interesting one to know. But the line is set at -10.5 in the Broncos' favour. They're without Reece Walsh. Tristan Saylor is his likely replacement, though it's not 100% confirmed yet. Flagler and Ricky are out, so Palacia and Willison come into the side. For the Dolphins, Tessie New in for McGrady. Jeremy Marshall-King returns, as does Sean O'Sullivan. And my notes here at the time say Nickarima to the bench, but we now know Nickarima will be at fullback and Hammer will be at centre. Do you like that change? And are you tipping the Dolphins here?
No, I don't really like that change. It occurred about an hour ago and I was checking the markets because I'd already kind of done my deep dive on this game. And I was even leaning to, you know, Dolphins 8.5. I should remind people I've ultimately gone first half line plus 5.5, $1.90 on toppy. But then I saw the line was getting to 10.5 in places as it is on toppy now. And so I'm like, someone must be out for the Finns. I've got to check this, you know, check. I'm still happy with my best bet. And then I realized it's not someone's out. It's Hammer moving to centers and Cody Nikorima moving to fullback. So it's a weird move, but Wayne Bennett's not going to do something suboptimal for this week. He's not going to make a change for the hell of it or to experiment or something that hurts them in the short term when this is like their biggest remaining game of the year. So if Wayne Bennett thinks that's the right rein to pull, then for me, it shouldn't really hurt the Dolphins' chances of winning. You can think, well, it's not what I would have done, but you can't think that it would be a downgrade. Like Aiken got torched. I was there in person against the Eels. So obviously they wanted to strengthen up that left center spot. And they've actually done well this year with Nikorima in some games at fullback. And you had to slot Dawn O'Sullivan into the halves with Marshall King, you know, likely returning this week. Otherwise, they probably wouldn't have released all this information that Hammer's not fullback, because this is all dependent on Marshall King being back, which is another reason why I am going to go the Finns. Of course, I do remember last week that they got absolutely toweled up when I was on them for a best bet. But that's part of the reason why I think they're a good play here, because I think, you know, that sometimes off your most humiliating loss, and in fact, the Dolphins have conceded over 100 points in their last two games, is sometimes when you get your greatest effort. And clearly this is a, you know, a big game against Big Brother for Brisbane. Look, people are going to start questioning, and I don't think this is actually fair yet, but people are going to start recalling how Brisbane fell apart after the Origin series last year. And they're going to look at a couple of Brisbane's recent matches where they were losing with 5 or 10 to go against the Knights. They did pull that out. And they're losing with 5 to go against the Titans. And we know they couldn't win that. And they were big home favourites for both those games. And it doesn't get any easier. You mentioned Walsh is out now. For what it's worth, I can understand swearing at the ref. I can understand you want to stamp it out. And it's not acceptable at any level. Not going to get into whether or not he said it to the ref. But Jerome Luai pushed a touchy in the back right. And he didn't get anything. I don't know if it's because it was a few days for Origin. I don't know if it's because he's from one side of the border, Walsh from another. I'm just stirring people up, but just some food for thought there. But so Walsh is out. No Ricky, no Flegler. They're injured. Capewell is still injured as well. So these are my reasons why I like the Finns. The counter case, like in the Brisbane's favour, is that they can still get their season well and truly back on track. They're 10.5-point favourites here. They've got a bye next week. So they're going to want to put in a strong effort before their next bye. Then the Broncos have the Bulldogs. The following week, they play Souths, but it's on the Sunshine Coast. So this is actually a very manageable month of footy. And what worries me about my bet here, because no bet's ever a certainty, is how emotional Kevy was on Sunday after that defeat. You know he's going to challenge everyone in that locker room to give everything on their new temporary home. I don't know if we know if Brisbane's played the Gabba before, but Lockie Hall says it has hosted 11 international tests. So
yeah,
assuming that's league tests, not union tests, including, well, the last one 70 years ago, Australia beating New Zealand 8-2. So there you go. So you're probably right there, Clarkie. So a completely unfamiliar surroundings. And it is different, I think, playing on these AFL fields. You know, sight lines can be different. I think that could be a hidden advantage in my unders play for Penrith Storm. And I think here it could keep the game closer too, where teams could just come out maybe a little bit more conservative. Just, you know, it's different for the kickers as well. Going back to Redcliffe, the Redcliffe Kings, as we sometimes call them, I also know that, you know, Bennett is going to be able to motivate his team here. I have this suspicion that, you know, looking at how the season has unfolded, it seems to me that the Dolphins really front-loaded their effort, their focus, and maybe their preseason regimen to be as strong as possible in the opening rounds of the year, which makes a lot of sense because that's when all eyes were going to be on them. And that was where there was an opportunity to really win over some fans and get people behind them. And now that they've fallen flat recently, you do wonder if that's a result of their own doing. But I just refuse to believe that they're going to fall in a heap for the rest of the year. I think the Dolphins are going to have a few big performances left in them. And I do think that this is one of them on Saturday night in the Derby.
And Jeremy makes some great points there. He says, has the Dolphins season finally putted out? You touched on that there. Me quickly. I would say no. I would say no side under Wayne Bennett has ever truly putted out or dead in a season. He's just not the sort of coach that would let anyone coast through a season regardless of their stature in the game. You know, he literally stripped Wally Lewis, an immortal, of captaincy back in the day. He's always been that sort of ruthless coach. And the Gabba crowd, another great question with Jeremy. I think I'd be speculating. I'm not too sure how that will affect it at all. But I'm going to tip Dolphins here. I'm going to tip them outright. Don't get me wrong. I can see why they're big underdogs. And I think that that line is ultimately fair. But my assessment and my bold tip, if you will, is Dolphins to win here because the Broncos will be underdone. Without Reece Walsh, that changes the way they attack. Big time. He's second for try assists in the NRL this year and I think first for line break assists. So they lose something there. They do gain Tristan Saylor, more of a running fullback at this stage, averages the most run meters of any player in Queensland Cup. Flegler and Jordan Rickey are two big losses. Flegler's been really underrated this year. You don't get picked for Billy Slater for the Maroons, and he wasn't in most fans' predicted sides unless you're doing something right. And Jordan Rickey's one of the most improved players. Dolphins almost beat them last time, and they were genuine excuses for that game. Genuine excuses with the massive injury toll they went up against. Now you're telling me they've got their halfback back for the game. They've got their hooker back. And they've got Tessie New back, who was in great form against his former club. Broncos' attack struggled last week. They only scored 2 tries. Last year, it was round 20 where their season really unraveled. I don't think they won a game from there. We're in round 18 now. I'm not going to go as far to say that's going to happen again, Winnie. I think that's a bridge too far. They do look a different side this year. But this game does mean a lot to the Dolphins. It means more to the Dolphins than it means to the Broncos. And the Broncos might not know that, but subconsciously, it does. And I can tell you that because last week, it meant more to the Titans than it meant to the Broncos. And that's why we got the win there. Broncos were better in every single statistic area than us. But it meant more to us. And I think this one means more to Wayne Bennett and the Dolphins. So I'm going to take them here. There is concern that they have leaked 136 points in their last 3 games. But I think Wayne Bennett is experienced enough to strip it all back, get back to training, get back to basics, focus on the defense, make the changes he requires, such as Nick Arima fullback and Hamiso to the centers. So I've got Dolphins 1-12 as my bold pick of the week. And if I had to give a best bet, +10.5 for them outright. I love that as well, Winnie. Now you've got a mixed matchup, is it? So bring that up on screen and let us know what you got there.
Yeah, that's right. So my mixed matchup is they're going to build in those two sides that I like on Saturday, where I like the big favorite, North Queensland Cowboys. I'm going to take them to outscore the Broncos. So the Cowboys will set the total in the Twilight Saturday game, and then the Dolphins will have to defend it. And look, I think Saylor is a solid backup for Walsh, but no Walsh. Some people have not just said he's the best recruit of the season, but the form player of the competition, certainly in attack. So Brisbane's attacking potency is going to be reduced. And then there's forwards out that, you know, evens up the matchup. Therefore, I don't think that the Dolphins are going to get steamrolled. And if you're worried that this bet is going to rely on the Dolphins' defense, I just think that it wouldn't be that hard for the Dolphins to improve their defense because it was so appalling last week. If they can just put bodies in front of ball runners, they could easily halve the amount of points they conceded last week, which was 48. And, you know, that number of points, you know, I think can easily be eclipsed by the Cowboys. So it's a $2 odds there. The Cowboys are bigger favorites than the Broncos. And I've got more faith in the Dolphins than I do in the Tigers, but it's a double up that I really like on the back of winning last week where we had no right to win, but we did. Maybe that's going to turn the tide for us with a bit of fortune. And you can have up to 200 on that on Toppy if you need a top sport account as always. There's a code there for you, TP Live.
And just to add to the way Wayne Bennett can turn teams around defensively and why I love this mixed matchup so much, let's go back to 2020 State of Origin series. They get 34 points put on them in game 2 and everyone starts to freak out. Oh my God, the Queensland side doesn't have the right troops. They're out of their depth. They were so lucky in game 1. The next game, they only concede 14. They concede 2 tries to Teddy and Daniel Tupou, who got out there wide, and Queensland go on to win the series with arguably a worse side than what they had in game 2. So Wayne Bennett is the master of turning teams around in a short period of time. And that's why I love this that mixed matchup. And that's why I love your best bet as well on the Dolphins there. Well, we've heard from our Top Sport mixed matchup. So it seems like a good point in the show to pause. And let's hear from the Top Sport CEO, Tristan Merlihan, with some exclusive market insights.
G'day everyone, Tristan Merlihan here from Top Sport, and there's been a lot of stuff happening in the last week of Rugby League. Obviously the Titans news last week, there's been stories about Ben Hunt this week and also last week as well. So that's made pricing things up a little bit interesting. The Bronx, there was a little bit of movement for the Broncos when those rumours were going around about Ben Hunt that he might come for the back end of the year. They were quite short already. They were at that sort of $5 mark, so I suppose that had been a little bit higher than perhaps there might have been a stronger push. But they've actually been our best back side by a long way. We've laid them at the start of the year from 21s in. So we're a little bit nervous where they're sitting at the moment, but there's obviously a lot of footy still to be played. It's a fascinating week this weekend. We've got a couple of teams, or three teams, that look like they might be starting to drop out. Obviously the Dragons in particular, they put in a pretty ordinary effort last week. The Tigers, they've got a lot of injury concerns. It's funny, they absolutely blew the Cowboys off the park when they played them only four games ago, but they're 14.5-point underdogs. And then obviously the Dolphins just look like they've hit that hurdle now, but what we've seen throughout the course of the year is they're one side that can find a way back, and you'd think if they are going to do it, it may be this week in that big brother rivalry, but they certainly on paper look like the Broncos might be going over the top of them. But yeah, it makes us having to set the lines a little bit wider. There's been a push for all the favourites in those games, and the totals go up in accordance. So we've loved the early part of the year where there hasn't been too much of that. But now it's going to get to those territory where it's fraught with danger, and we really obviously be a lot more conservative at this time in the week as well. So probably the biggest move of the weekend has been the Warriors against the Rabbitohs. They were slight underdogs when we opened that market. They've been backed into 2.5-point favourites. And then the Dolphins game's been so much activity, more so on player movement. We opened it at 13.5. Reece Walsh came out last night after the judiciary into 9.5, got it back to 10.5, three-way to money. Now there's been a little bit of a push for the Dolphins at that plus 10.5. So tricky week to price. It's going to be an exciting weekend of football, I think. Hopefully you have a bit of luck if you're having a punt, and of course, gamble responsibly.
Thank you very much to Tristan for that clip. We always love a Tristan clip. You never know what you're going to get. Sometimes you get a little outro extension. Sometimes you get a little bit of a coffee cough. Mate,
he's got a sore throat from cheering your Titans. He might have been the only person cheering them harder than you, because everyone's multis were alive for the most part coming into Sunday. Just to recap last round a bit more, I don't think we said on the recap, every favourite won their game until Sunday, where then all of a sudden all the underdogs won and most of those multis got rolled.
Yeah, moral of the story? Don't back against the Titans, baby. Don't do it. I'm only joking. Sunday, 2 p.m., we've got the Doggies v Knights at Accor Stadium. The line for this one is set in the Knights' favour at -2.5. For the Doggies, Khalid Rajab comes in. He starts at 5'8", and Carl Olapau drops out. Max King comes in, so Chris Patolo drops out. For the Knights, Dane Gagai has finally succumbed to that foot injury. Apparently, he's been playing through it for a while now, so Anari Chuala moves into the centres, and Lachlan Fitzgibbon makes his return also. When I look at this one, Winnie, I think the line for this one should be 1.5. It's just a coin flip for me, absolutely. Do you see it that way as well?
Yeah, I agree. And I'll reply to Jeremy's comment there about would we expect the Dolphins line to grow closer to the game? Well, I do think Brisbane will be pretty public. And I think, again, Brisbane head-to-head will be a popular multi-leg and same gamers. Look, Brisbane hasn't covered the line the last couple of times. And I think people are aware some key players are out more so than Walsh. So I do think 10.5. is the high point because the Dolphins have shown they can pull some upsets. And as for this game, I saw it the same as you. So I actually leaned to the 2.5 with the Dogs. That would be another game I really thought strongly about. I'll say off the bat, if I could have got like a 4.5 with the Bulldogs, I'd be taking it. Although my first instinct was the Knights are significantly better than the Dogs, even though they're both in the same part of the ladder. I just know deep down the Knights are a better team. But then you look at the other factors. You know, there's other factors in Canterbury's favour. They're the ones off the bye. Canterbury are the ones at home. Canterbury have a fair amount of troops back on deck in this one. And Newcastle's off a high-intensity game in Penrith and do lose Gagai. So lots of things that kind of even the ledger. And I don't want to harp on about coaching, but like I do go back a couple of weeks ago. The Knights were stronger than the Roosters and at home and favourites, but it was O'Brien versus Robinson. He got out-coached and he lost. And the Knights were stronger than Penrith, just about on paper, or pretty evenly matched. But it was Adam O'Brien versus Ivan Cleary, and he got out-coached. And look, I'm not saying, obviously, Seraldo is nowhere near as proven as those last two, but I don't think we should forget that Seraldo was the hottest coaching commodity to hit the open market in a few seasons. And now you give him a bye, you give him some key players back, time to strategize and time to review and improve one of the many or some of the many shortcomings that have showed up for the Bulldogs in recent weeks, because they were pretty bloody poor. Pretty sure the last two Dogs games were blowout losses to, you know, to Cronulla and to Parramatta. So plenty to improve on, but they do get an opportunity to improve in this one. Rajab, is, for me, is an unknown at six. Let us know anything you know about the young fella there. But, you know, Burton was pulled out of the Dogs game just before they played last time. So I do feel like that would have been quite disruptive. And his combination with Marnie, I think, is legit one of the most exciting combos in the comp. I know that Ponga is in great form. He's an absolute handful. I'd like to know who people will be picking for the Queensland fullback. I mean, Brimson was 18th man, but and Ponga, maybe there's an understanding that he'll stay out of it this year for his health. But, you know, you couldn't begrudge Billy for giving it to Ponga, because Ponga's form has been one of the most exciting players in the comp in recent weeks as well. So let us know what direction you guys would go there. But I guess final point for me, you guys know that I've been a strong believer in Newcastle, in the sense I believe they're better than most people probably know. And yet I still lean to the Dogs, and I do think it's anybody's game here. It was very close to a best bet.
Yeah, the only point on Kalen Ponga was he officially withdrew himself and told Billy, "I don't want to play this year. I just want to focus on the Knights." So I think that does.
But that was after he didn't get picked in the first game.
Yeah.
And so that would be like me asking some girl to the high school dance, and then she says no, as every girl pretty much has always said to me. And then I say, "Yeah, I'm not going to the dance. I'm not asking anyone to the dance." It's like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
So we'll see. Yeah, then if that person, you know, calls your phone, do you change your mind?
Yeah, and don't forget, you get 30K for the dance as well, playing State of Origin. On Rajab, I've got 11 games in New South Wales Cup, primarily all at 5'8", for 3 tries and 6 try assists. And it's worth noting, the last time Doggies were coming off the bye, they lost to the Roosters 25-24 in Gosford. That was in round 14. I said at the start, I think this is a real coin flip. What makes it a coin flip for me? It's a tough game to pick, because both sides are kind of heading to that territory where they kind of are starting to come to realization they're probably not going to play finals this year unless something goes their way. So the question is then, how do you split them? And for me, I go to the Knights and I think, do the players want to play for Adam O'Brien? Because if they do, and if you look at these sides on paper, absolutely they should be beating the Doggies in this one. They should be, with what we know about the Knights. They've shown us a little bit more this year. But maybe they don't want to play for Adam O'Brien. We honestly don't know. Titans last week sacked our coach. I'm not insinuating anything, but then they come out and win without him in a game where they probably shouldn't have won against the Broncos. So there is merit to that question. Do the Knights want to play for Adam O'Brien? And how they respond is ultimately going to determine his coaching future and whether he's extended beyond the end of this year. On paper, I think Knights are stronger. They've won 4 of their last 5 against Bulldogs, and Bulldogs have only won 1 of their last 5 games at a core stadium. Both sides have exactly 5 wins this year. I think the Knights have shown me a little bit more winnie. So if I've got to flip a coin, I'll go Knights 1-12. But I could probably come up with just as many reasons for the Bulldogs as well. It's that tight. Sunday, 4 p.m., we've got Sea Eagles v Roosters. Battle of the Birds. We're at Four Pines Park, Brookvale Oval. The line is set at nothing. It's a pick'em, unless I got that wrong. The website just had pluses there. So looks to be a pick'em there. For Manly, huge returns. Jake and Ben Trbojevic are back. Brad Parker's back, as is Kelma Tuolungi. For the Roosters, Joseph Suaalii and Fletcher Baker return. However, we must note Angus Crichton and Egan Butcher are both out. Now, Joshua Wong, Swea Wong, is named for debut. Winnie, I'm not sure how much you know about him, but forget the result for this one. I'm just keen to see him make his NRL debut personally. But who have you got in this one? An absolute pick'em.
Yes, did see him play in the World Cup, and he's still only, what, like 19? So a very exciting prospect for the Roosters. I'm going to do another side note. The other big story this week, I'm going to just weigh in and say, I don't think the Brooks signing is as terrible as people are making out. He's still only 28, and a change of scenery, he could still play some good footy. I do also think Schuster's best position is in the back row. So now he's been extended. I don't see an issue with having both them in your team. I think Brooks can play 6. Schuster can play back row. Schuster, to live up to that contract, just needs to make sure that he tackles people when they run past him. That, you know, that was a big issue last weekend and has been an issue in his game. of all of Manly's moves this week, I guess the one that could bite them the most would be letting go this young, highly touted Fayunu, which, you know, it is curious that you'd let this young prospect go, but I suppose you've only got so much cap space. He might have been demanding a higher paying deal. And I don't know,
highest paid teenager of all time, Winnie. Highest paid teenager they've ever paid.
He already is.
Yeah, they signed him.
But he hasn't played first grade yet. So he's going to need an even bigger deal.
Yes. Where's
he going to go?
Really rate him.
West Tigers.
He's going to meet with Benji Marshall this week. That's where he's likely headed.
So that's pretty exciting. And you know, Manly fans are going to hope that he doesn't turn into the next Benji Marshall or whatever. But maybe Manly sees their premiership window as a bit sooner with, you know, DCE in the back end of his prime. You can't win a premiership unless Tom's healthy. Let's just say that Tom Trbojevic can put together another healthy season. He's in his prime right now, as are, you know, most of the squad. So maybe the timeline doesn't line up with Fayunu. But anyway, I just want to set some Manly fans' minds at ease. Like, you've got to trust in Seibold. It's not like he's going to come to a competitive club and make poor signings, make poor decisions, lose a heap of games and leave town with that club in ashes. You know, that wouldn't be Seibold. So you'll be right there. And Jake Trbojevic back this week is definitely a difference maker. Tuilagi, as you said, on an edge. Brad Parker to the games at Brookvale. And I referenced Manly's loss to Melbourne last week. They were really in that game for 60 minutes before they fell away. We were said in the recap, we thought they had a chance to win in the first half. So Manly's not a complete mess. And the Roosters are no Melbourne right now. They did mount a fight back against Canberra. But we discussed that game in depth and the Chooks' shortcomings in the recap, as well as their losses, which include Egan Butcher. Nat may return this week, but Crichton also out. Swalee back, as you mentioned. This is another potentially great game to end the round if both sides show up. So they've been a bit inconsistent and they're both, you know, the bottom eight on the ladder. But I want to know, like, is there anyone watching us now who thinks either of these teams are going to make the eight? Maybe one or two. Maybe they're fans of those clubs. But I'll tell you what, there's nobody watching right now who thinks Manly and the Roosters are going to be in the eight. So you know that you have to win this game to keep your season alive. The loser will have an absolute mountain to climb. Therefore, I see a lot of desperation on both sides. And me, people often ask me my tip, even if I don't give a best bet. I'll tip Manly, but it is that tight. And that's despite, you know, the fact that one side's coached by Seibold, the other by Robinson. For me, it goes back to that home advantage, Brookie, DCE in a close game, and maybe a little bit more cohesion in that forward pack with Gerbo back. This is why I think Manly should be the narrow favourite. But since I agree with the marketplace, you know, I haven't come up with a best bet there.
It's a really tough one to say confidently either way, so completely get the best bet one there. For what it's worth, Roosters had a very similar record last year and at this stage of the season went on to win majority of their games and push for that final spot. I saw the comment there that rolled through. I can't remember. It was Colt. Colt said he likes Victor the Inflictor at $5.20 ATS in the back row. I like that as well. He could be a back row like Cotter or Murray, where we know he's a lock, but he slots in well at back row there. And the reason why he's playing at back row, I think, I'll get to in a second, that is Joshua Wong. Now, Joshua Wong, real name Swear, nickname Joshua, awesome player. The Roosters New South Wales Cup side has only won four games all season. But despite that, he is still averaging 150-plus metres and 94% tackle efficiency, which is right on NRL numbers, if not better, for a lot of back rowers, particularly 20-year-olds. Now, where it gets interesting, he moved to lock 4 weeks ago from back row to lock, and he's now averaging 229 metres. He's ran as high as 264 in the middle of the field there in New South Wales Cup. So I'm really, really keen on seeing Swea Wong debut here. I think those numbers give a little insight into everyone how special he could be. And obviously has played internationally for Fiji as well, as Winnie said. But onto the game, I have Manly here due to their their inclusions here, particularly Jake Trbojevic. I think Brad Parker's an underrated inclusion, as is Tuilagi. I know I've been really critical of Manly this year, particularly after their losses, but Roosters is probably the only side you can say I've been more critical of, because there's a lot of games where they should win with the team they have on paper, and they just haven't. Honestly, unless the Roosters were versing like the Bulldogs, the Tigers, the real sort of bottom dwellers of the competition this week, I'd be tipping most sides against the Roosters. I know they got close to the Raiders, but that was just a Raiders performance where they're just going to win by enough. They've done that so much this year. And outside of that, I thought the Roosters have been really, really underwhelming this year. Ultimately, Manly have won 4 of their last 6 at home. And I couldn't find stats on this specifically, but they do seem to always play well in afternoon games from my memory. So I am going to take Manly here. I think they should have enough to get the job done in a pick'em game. And, of course, keep an eye on Wong, who will make his debut from the interchange.
And I said on Sunday I regretted not making a best bet against the Roosters last week. I've been equally unimpressed. From the comments coming through, not many people think either of these teams are going to make the 8. And I'm not saying one of them will make the 8. But what I am saying is you lose here. There's still like 7 or 8 rounds to go, but your season's nearly over. Because if 2 teams that nobody thinks are going to make the 8, then definitely the loser is going to have very little chance. Now, we've had 3 best bets tonight. We've had your take on Toppy. We've had the mixed matchup. The better same game multi is going to be Friday. We're not quite done yet, though, guys, because we have an anytime try scorer tip courtesy of Nicole at Wiki. We made you wait the whole show because it is for the final game of the round.
I hope you guys enjoyed my drunken exploits with Spud Carroll at the Star for Origin 2. When Nanai scored, obviously freaking lost it. But look, round 18 of the NRL, the punters preview that you see in front of you at Data Tools, at Discord, everything, the podcast as well, all for free. Just Google Wiki Linktree. You can check that out. Nailed Hamole Olakuatu last week. He scored the first try, but it was a really good price. And he is, again, his career striker at most bookies have him around $3. Bet have it $4.10 to score a try anytime. So good luck, and responsibly, everyone, and enjoy the weekend of footy.
Yeah, for what it's worth, I did some work with Nicole early today. Hamole Olakuatu has a fantastic strike rate across his career. I think he's third. Only Fifita and Jeremiah Nanai across their career have a higher percentage strike rate to score. So, great value there with Hamole Olakuatu in this one. Yeah, check out Wikilinktree, guys. I've hit Josh King, $151, first try score, and a few other really great bets this week. As Nicole said, you can get it all for free. Wikilinktree. Google it. You will not regret it. But one thing you will regret is that this show has come to an end, but we will be back on Sunday. Won't be as late as the last one because we don't have the 6 p.m. game. So we will be here around 6-ish or 6:30-ish to recap all of the action. So for myself, thank you very much for being here for the show. And we look forward to seeing you on the recap also. Over to you, Winnie. Well, show off my merch, baby. Tripod. Let's go.
Oh, I love it, mate. Yes, everyone should have their merch by now. So enjoy it. Enjoy your week, guys. Enjoy the footy. We'll see you Sunday. Gamble responsibly as always. If you are having a punt, best of luck and Lego.